This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. By 1921, Danish composer Carl Nielsen had risen from humble beginnings to a teaching position at the Royal Danish Academy of Music and had been given a modest government pension, which meant he could spend more time composing. He had already written two operas, four symphonies, and a violin concerto, along with a great deal of incidental music for the stage, piano music, chamber music, choral works, and songs. But his marriage was on shaky ground, and World War I had shaken his faith. Both these events led him to a reappraisal of himself as a composer in the modern world. Nielsen's Fifth Symphony, which had its premiere in January 1922, was the beginning of a new musical life for Nielsen. And as with many new beginnings, the symphony opens with a struggle. Beginning with the Fourth Symphony, Nielsen had filled his music with conversations and confrontations, ranging from the comic to the menacing. He also began writing in a style known as progressive tonality. For most of the previous 300 years, a piece of music in a designated home key would begin and end in that key, sometimes progressing from minor to major. Nielsen and his contemporary Gustav Mahler pioneered the process of beginning a symphony in one key and ending in another, with the quest for the final home key at the center of the symphonic drama. Nielsen knew that most listeners could not follow a harmonic structure and put names to their experiences, but he also knew that listeners respond to the events themselves, to unexpected juxtapositions, to departures and homecomings. The recognition of those events is the key to Nielsen's symphonic dramas. Nielsen's Fifth Symphony is in just two movements, but each one is divided into sharply characterized, distinct sections. The first begins in tempo giusto, a direction hardly anyone had used in 200 years. Roughly translated, it means the right tempo. The piece opens with the violas stuck on two notes, oscillating between C and A. They set the tone for the whole piece, which has a certain obsessive quality, a sense of being stuck to certain ideas. The pattern immediately pulls you into the drama. Winds wander about in pairs. Strings introduce a theme that winds around the viola figure. And in the middle of all that, a snare drum quietly begins insisting on a simple but distinctive rhythmic figure. Insisting is the right word. It repeats the statement 57 times. Meanwhile, the lower strings in the timpani are equally committed to a manic repetition of two other notes, F and D. It's similar to the repetitive percussion figures in Shostakovich, and only slightly less threatening. The celesta begins its own obsession with D. Passes it around. It's a menacing and uneasy sort of music, and almost nothing about it is more scary than the fact that at the end, it just goes away. Replaced by a lusciously scored expressive adagio. A sudden timpani roll is a warning signal, though. And the obsessed snare drummer returns. Improvising on his pattern as though determined at all costs to break up the performance, it takes the full ferocious force of the orchestra to silence him. But even in the epilogue to this movement, with the still, small voice of the clarinet heard over a motionless chord in horns and strings, the remembrance of the threat stays with us. What Nielsen has imagined and portrayed here is a frightening vision of madness and the invasion of order by disorder. From the quiet G major ending of the first movement, Nielsen takes a bold leap to B major for the opening of the second. The shift in key is reinforced by a shift in tempo to an energetic allegro. It is also and still a world of obsessions, including the B from all the strings in the timpani, and the return of that ticking D from the first movement. Nielsen nods to his musical ancestors with two fugal sections, one very rapid and on a subject that can't seem to get past its initial upbeat, the other on a tranquil but carefully exploring theme. Finally, Nielsen makes a return to something like the opening music. There is one last manic episode. Provides the entry to the drama's resolution. Nielsen's second, third, and fourth symphonies have subtitles, but the fifth does not, which is surprising given the drama that takes place in it. Nielsen once told a student that the symphony described the division of dark and light, the battle between evil and good, and the opposition between dreams and deeds. It took a while for audiences to catch on. A 1924 performance in Sweden caused a riot, and it wasn't until Leonard Bernstein's 1962 recording with the New York Philharmonic that the world outside Scandinavia took notice. In the soundtrack of the 20th century, the drama of Nielsen's Fifth is one of the centerpieces. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.